Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Aho Bhatama Matma. Aho bata mamat nayam nam, excuse me. Aho bata mamanatmyam. Mandabhagasya pashyata. Bhavachita padamulam. Gatvayache yad antavat. Aho bata mamat. Natmyam, mamanatmyam, mandabhagasya pashyata, bhavachidha padamulam, gatvaya cheyad antavat, aho, oh, bata, alas. Mama, my, anatmyam, bodily consciousness, manda bhagasya, of the unfortunate, pashyata, just see, bhava, material existence, chidha, of the Lord, who can cut off. Padamulam, the lotus feet. Gatva, having approached. Yache, I prayed for. Yat, that which. Antavat, perishable. Translation, alas, just look at me. I am so unfortunate. I approached the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who can immediately cut the chain of the repetition of birth and death, but still, out of my foolishness, I prayed for things which are perishable. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The word anatmyam is very significant in this verse. Atma means the soul, and anatmyam means without any conception of the soul. Srila Rishabhdev instructs his sons that unless a human being comes to the point of understanding the Atma or spiritual position, whatever he does is ignorance, and this brings only defeat in his life. Let that one sink in. Dhruva Maharaj regrets his unfortunate position. For although he approached the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is always able to give his devotee the highest benediction of cessation of repeated birth and death, which is impossible for any demigod to offer, he foolishly wanted something perishable. When Hiranyakashipu asked for immortality from Lord Brahma expressed his inability to offer such a benediction because he himself is not immortal. Therefore, immortality or complete cessation of the chain of repeated birth and death can be offered by the Supreme Lord, the Personality of God in Himself, not by others. Harim vina na shrutim taranti. It is said that without the blessings of Hari, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, no one can stop the continuous chain of birth and death within this material world. Therefore, the Supreme Lord is also called Bhava Chit. The Vaishnava philosophy, in the process of Krishna consciousness, prohibits devotees from all kinds of material aspirations. A Vaishnava devotee should always be anyabhilashita shunya, free from all material aspirations, for the results of fruitive activities or empiric philosophical speculation. Dhruva Maharaj was actually initiated by Narada Muni, the greatest Vaishnava, in the chanting of Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. This mantra is a Vishnu mantra. For by practicing the chanting of this mantra, one is elevated to Vishnu Loka. Dhruva Maharaj regrets that although he was initiated in this Vishnu mantra by a Vaishnava, still he aspired for material benefits. That was another cause for lamentation. Although he got the result of the Vishnu mantra by the causeless mercy of the Lord, he lamented how foolish he was to have strived for material benefits while practicing devotional service. In other words, every one of us who is engaged in devotional service and Krishna consciousness should be completely free from all material aspirations. Otherwise, we will have to lament like Dhruva Maharaj. Aho bata mama natmyam mandbhagasya bhagyasya pashyato bhava chidha padamulam nadva yache yad antavat. Alas, just look at me, I am so unfortunate. I approach the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who can immediately cut the chain of repetition of birth and death. But still, out of my foolishness, I prayed for things which are perishable. This is a third verse in a row emphasizing or expanding on the same point, which is what the real position of bhakti is and the misfortune of not understanding what the real position of bhakti is. The mother of Dhruva, Suniti, responded to the question asked by Dhruva, how can I get a kingdom better than my great-great-grandfather? And anything is possible from Vishnu, his mother said, so that's the only thing I know what to tell you. As he can give anything material, he can give anything spiritual. Dhruva ended up getting both by the mercy of the Personality of Godhead. But as we've been hearing, because he had this material motivation in approaching the Supreme Lord, even after contacting the Supreme Lord, he still had, or was, by the Lord's arrangement, was given this the benediction of his fulfilling his material desire. Thinking of this little story Prabhupada tells of a lady who was very poor, and her occupation was she would go into the forest, she'd gather pieces of fallen branches from the trees, gather them all together and put them in a bundle, tie them with a rope, and then carry the pieces of fallen wood on her head to the marketplace, and that was her income, sell the wood at the marketplace. So she did this every day and lived very poorly, because you can't get too much for pieces of fallen wood from trees. So one day the bundle fell off her head and she called out, "Oh, Krishna!" And Krishna came. "What can I do for you? Can you help me put this bundle back on my head?" he who can deliver anything, to ask for some. This word in the verse is antavat. It's the same verse, same word that's used in Bhagavad Gita, antavat tu palam te sham. Vat means having the quality of. Anta, having it has an end. Anta, vat, impermanent. Having existence for some time and then going out of existence. So aspiring for things that are antavat, that's the material program. You can say it's foolish. That's what his lamentation is. By the influence of ignorance, one becomes foolish. And one then desires things that are antavat, perishable, impermanent, no more substantial than a shadow. So there's some light and there's an object and there's a shadow, and becoming very attracted to the shadow. And the object moves and the shadow moves, and then one laments. Even if one gets the shadow, that which is casting the shadow moves, and then it's gone. It's impermanent. Aspiring for impermanent is ignorance, and its ignorance brings suffering. My happiness is get the shadow, and then the shadow moves. There's no substance in the shadow also, in addition to it being impermanent. That is to say, that which is permanent, or sat, or anadi, that which has no beginning and has no end, that which is eternal, there is both substance and permanence. The wise are those that seek or search for eternal substance, and that spirit. From the definition of those that are materialists, spirit is ephemeral. Spirit is it's the imagination of foolish people who just can't get it together to be materialists. It's, you know, it's opposites. The influence of goodness and the influence of ignorance are opposite. Light and darkness are opposite. And the very nature of material existence is seeking for happiness through the impermanent. That's called fruitive activity. And another phrase that's found in the first canto of Bhagavatam, Manda Bhagya, Prayina Payushakshabhya Kalavasmin Yugejana Manda Sumanda Matayo Manda Bhagya Yupadrita. There's a verse where the sages of Naimisharanya are evaluating, they're placing weight or value in the conditions of the age of Kali, and they don't have a good report. In this age of Kali, things are very degraded, and it becomes more degraded and more degraded, and as time passes, more degraded. But bhagya, it means good fortune, and manda bhagya is unfortunate, very unfortunate. It's like Bhagavan and Bhagyavan. So this is bhagasya, manda bhagasya. One becomes very, very unfortunate. Aho bhata, just see my misfortune. Where anatmiyam, the atma, knowledge of or conception of the self as spirit, is absent, or bodily consciousness. One who's in bodily consciousness is very unfortunate. And Prabhupada refers to Rishabhdev's teachings, where he says the same thing to his sons. Nice verse to memorize, 555, Srimad Bhagavatam. Prabhavatstavat abodha jato yavan najigyasata atma tattvam. In Sanskrit, little Sanskrit lesson, yavat tavat. As this, so this. It's not exactly, it's not a metaphor. It's a, like cause and effect. Wherever this is there, you'll also find that there. They're like peas in a pod. When you find a pea pod and you find a pea in one of the pods, you'll find a pea next to that pod, that other one. Prabhava is how the verse begins. Prabhava means defeat. So even before you get started, you're defeated. Who wants to play? You want to do something that you know before you even get started, you're defeated. Not very enlivening. Parabhavas, tavat. So this is tavat, yavat. So long as this is also there. Parabhavas, tavat, abodha, jato. Buddhi is intelligence, and abuddhi is the opposite. Ignorance, foolishness. Ignorance, abodha jato, produced from ignorance, is this covering of the spiritual conception. Produced from ignorance is the covering of our spiritual conception, and we're defeated. Yavat na jigyasata atma tattvam. Those who don't jigyasata atma tattvam, those that don't inquire about spiritual reality, the spirit self, our real identity. Therein, one can understand such a person is under the influence of ignorance, and they're defeated. However, whatever else you might want to say about them, they're wealthy, they're famous, they're beautiful, they have, you know, 5 PhDs. They're very learned. Defeated. Before they did anything, and you know, for the duration of their life, there must be, that. So the reverse is, there must be inquisitiveness into the nature of that which is eternal, the nature of the Atma, Atma Tattvam, Jigyasata Atma Tattvam. If that's missing, defeated. And under the influence of ignorance. Abodha jato. It's not a pretty picture. But then he goes on. Yavat kriyas tavat idam manovai. So he speaks about the mind. Kriya means activity or work or karma. In this case, karma. Those that are involved in karma, fruitive activity. Their mind has a certain quality. When there's fruitive activity, there's a mind with a certain quality, and that mind is colored. Like think of polluted air or something. Think of Los Angeles. just sometimes driving through the city of Los Angeles, your eyes start to sting because there's all this pollution. There's factories, and there's a wind that comes off of the ocean, and there's a mountain range kind of U-shaped around the city of Los Angeles. And so all the pollution from cars and factories and whatever gathers, it doesn't go on the other side of the clouds, it just gathers and gathers. If you notice when you're coming in on an airplane, you see the mountains And then you see, you can't see the city because it's so polluted. Kind of this murky, yellowish, vomit-looking color. Really awful. And Beijing is worse. There's no mountains, it's just so much pollution. So many factories, so much pollution. I was driving along the streets in Beijing, and it was like 2 o'clock in the afternoon. It looked like it was nightfall. I was looking at my watch. It's not nightfall. The smog is so thick. Like when they had the Olympic Games in Beijing, poor athletes. They have to run these, you know, get lots of oxygen and run, swim, jump, whatever they do, and you know, just breathing all this pollution. So picture that in your mind, and karmatma kamyena sharira bandha. The mind becomes polluted or colored, discolored. The coloration is the modes of nature, and the pure state is removing the modes of nature, especially the mode of ignorance. But you know, ignorance has a good friend in the mode of passion. They're buddies. Passionate activity to engage oneself in fruitive work. But you have to have a good, strong dose of ignorance also. So lots of pollution in the state of pure consciousness. So the mind becomes polluted or colored, karma, by fruitive intention. And when the mind is absorbed like that with fruitive intention, whatever direction you turn, that's how you see, that's how you experience, that's your desire. It's a trap. It's a prison. The prison of Maya. Through these subtle influences of the material contamination of fruitive desire. So, yavat kriyas, fruitive work, yavat kriyas, tavat, idam manovai, where there is this strong urge for fruitive activity, the mind becomes polluted, discolored. Here's the translation. As long as one does not inquire about the spiritual values of life, one is defeated and subjected to miseries arising from ignorance. Then for a little spice, he adds, be it sinful or pious, karma has its resultant actions. That's like an add-in that wasn't directly from the verse. But it's not speaking about bad, sinful karma. Any kind. The good kind. The bad kind. The mixed kind. Any kind. One's defeated and one experiences miseries arising from ignorance. Not a good program. Don't buy one. Get another one. Then he continues, if a person is engaged in any kind of karma, his mind is called karmatmaka, or colored with fruitive activity. As long as the mind is impure, consciousness is unclear. And as long as one is absorbed in fruitive activity, he has to accept a material body. It's a repeat and repeat and repeat. It's perpetual motion machine. Repeat. So that's the package that we're starting with when we take up devotional service. We have that repeat pattern tendency that we've learned very well. Millions and millions and millions of lifetimes we've performed very nicely in pursuing fruitive activity. Pursuing happiness by bringing the senses to sense objects, hoping there's happiness there. Millions and millions and millions of lifetimes. Countless. We're very well trained up in that program. And then we take up devotional service. So guess what? That tendency continues. It's a very strong tendency, so it doesn't go away very easily. And so there's two parts here. Dhruva is lamenting, oh, bhata, mama natmyam. How unfortunate I am that I've been acting in bodily consciousness. Mandabhagya, how unfortunate. Pashyati, just see. What's that? Bhavachidha, that is another phrase that's repeated elsewhere in the Bhagavatam. Chidha means cutting. Bhava, it's a different word than bhava, very different word. Bhava means ecstasy, and bhava means material existence. So bhava chidha, he who has the capacity to chidha, to cut, to stop the repetition of birth and death, just through the access of his lotus feet, padamulam. Just see, I wanted things that are antavat, that are impermanent, from that person, from Krishna. How foolish, how unfortunate. Anatmyam, without proper conception of the soul. So, three things now, just summarize. He's lamenting both, A and B. I wasn't seeking liberation, and B, instead I was seeking something impermanent. The phrase that Prabhupada, when speaking about this in lectures, invariably would make reference to is not a phrase from the Srimad Bhagavatam, it's from another Purana, where the story of Dhruva Maharaj is narrated. And in that other Purana, he says, I was seeking pieces of broken glass, and instead I received this precious jewel. How unfortunate, I was seeking broken glass instead of this precious jewel. Your precious jewel is his association. How unfortunate. So, again, the question, these verses are spoken in response to a question. Maitreya is asked by Vidura, after seeing the personality of Godhead, why was he feeling despondent and sad? And it's the most wonderful thing. Why is he feeling this way? And so these are answers. First is, Maitreya gives an answer, and then he quotes Dhruva in giving his answer. I wasn't seeking that which the personality of Godhead can give. Bhavachidha. Interruption of the cycle of birth and death. I wasn't seeking that. Instead, I was seeking something antavat. So now I'm stuck with this antavat. This impermanent thing. 36,000 years, ruled my father's kingdom, and then I could have just gotten on his vimana and gone with him, or on the back of Garuda, and off we go. Back home, back to Godhead. How unfortunate. The other part in the purport is therefore that Prabhupada's giving the lesson for us, we should take the lesson from Dhruva. That's on the negative side, what we should not do, or the positive side, what we should do. Anyabhilashtashunyam, cultivate the position where we're not hankering for karma and gyan. It's tough because that's our life, karma and gyan. What do you do without? It's like do without life. So, because we're attached to those things, the process of spiritual progress, or the stages of spiritual progress, are generally slow or gradual. But they could be less slow, or they could be more swift if we could understand from the lessons of Dhruva and the teachings of Rupa Goswami that we should let go of those things. There's another metaphor used in the Bhagavatam in a number of places. The metaphor of the inchworm. And I don't know if you've studied inchworms, but as a kid I used to watch them. They have a set of feet in the front and a set of feet in the back and this body that moves around like this. And they're over here on this branch or twig or leaf and they're going looking for the next thing. The metaphor is commonly used to describe the transmigration of the soul. As the inchworm must contact the next leaf, twig, or branch with his front legs before letting go of the back leg. They haven't learned to jump. They have to contact the next leaf or branch. And then the body goes, whoop, arches, and then the back legs come to where the front legs are. And the inchworm goes over to the next place and immediately he's looking for the next place. Never satisfied with whatever, wherever he is. That's us, too. So, that metaphor is similarly the soul, the destination of the soul must be determined before the soul leaves the body. Then, when that next destination is determined, the soul can leave the body and go to the next destination. But the metaphor can also apply to we're in our material condition. And this is something that Prabhupada refers to in his Bhagavatam purport with this 5.5.5 verse, where if we have a clear sense, like really clear sense of what our spiritual identity is, at least theoretically, conceptually, very clear idea. This is the goal, to move to the spiritual conception. Then you can move to the spiritual conception. Or the way it's stated in Bhagavad Gita, that when one is situated in transcendental knowledge, that transcendental knowledge acts like fire. It burns to ashes all of those prior tendencies for fruitive work. That karmatmaka, it cleans the air of all the pollution, the mind of all the pollution. That's a big step, having a proper spiritual conception, at least theoretically. And then we can move, let go. It's what's required is letting go of fruitive tendency and mental speculation. If we have a spiritual conception, that spiritual conception has potency. The potency to completely extinguish fruitive tendency. Yay! Not just the reactions to our past deeds, but the tendency to do more of them. And the tendency to do more of them is very strong. Really, 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 really strong. So we must work with a spiritual conception. Haridas Thakur speaks about this in relation to chanting. We're chanting. He says, without a proper sambandha gyan, you won't get the full benefit of chanting. You have to have a spiritual conception of who you are, what the chanting is, whose name it is that you're chanting. That can happen gradually, 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 ever so gradually. It's likened in one little story, likened to putting a pot about 3 feet in the air above a little candle flame and trying to cook. It'll take quite a while. There's some heat coming from the candle flame that's 3 feet above the pot, but it's not going to cook very quickly. So, although the principle is there, there's a way to apply the principle more effectively. And if we have side by side with chanting, we're cultivating a spiritual conception of self, not the anatmyam, the bodily consciousness conception, but the atma-tattva conception, the spiritual conception. So that's what Dhruva is lamenting. That's what Rishabhdev is teaching. That's what Krishna is teaching in Bhagavad Gita. The take-home point, the application point is that we should hear very carefully this misfortunate position. We don't follow the misfortune path. And cultivate a spiritual conception. And on the other side, let go of the Abhilash. Anya means other, and Abhilash means desires. Let go of them. We value them. It's our identity. It's who we are. It's not who we are. It's the illusion of thinking that we know who we are. And we have to let go of that illusion progressively in favor of the spiritual conception. It's required in the bhakti process. The means is very potent and powerful. Chanting, hearing, remembering, praying, worshipping, the nine processes of bhakti are very powerful. We have to apply them. Moving towards this spiritual conception of self. And as the Prabhupada ends the purport, otherwise, like Dhruva, we'll have to lament. How unfortunate. Any comments or questions?
I have two questions for my clarification. So my first question is like the question which you asked me yesterday, which has a connection with this verse, today's verse 2. You asked me like, so what would you say when Supreme Personality Godhead comes and asks you whether would you like to go back to Godhead or ask for the material desire or something? So I answered that I would want to go back to Godhead.
But what about my duties? Was your next?
Yeah, but today I'm connecting that with this Mantra Bhagavashya Pasita. So I was meditating on that question yesterday, and then I thought I'm putting myself in a position like before becoming involved in ISKCON and after. So before coming into ISKCON, I had a bhakti, but I didn't have a knowledge of setting my goal on spiritual construction about what should be my aim and goal. Like, you know, I had to go back to Godhead. But after coming into ISKCON, I got that knowledge and gained that I should have my goal set to this. This is my goal, that I should aim for this, and that I should have the spiritual construction and based on the soul and everything. So that my answer would change according to it. So my question is, also just having bhakti is not going to help me, but bhakti plus knowledge.
No. Let me modify what you're saying. Bhakti is the essence, and a subset of bhakti is to know what's what. Not bhakti plus knowledge. Just through devotion, you won't understand one yet you. One will not understand the message of Bhagavad Gita, the message of bhakti, the message of going back home, back to Godhead, without devotion. They will have another conception. It's a selfish conception. Bhukti, so there's a verse in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Bhukti, mukti, siddhi, kami, sakale ashanta. So a jnani, someone who wants knowledge, speculative knowledge, their aspiration, commonly, is mukti. I want liberation. But it's not that kind of knowledge. It's rather the knowledge of bhakti is our real position in relation to the personality of Godhead. is to be in his eternal service. So our goal is not exactly, a beginner's goal may be, or an intermediate goal may be, to go back to Godhead. And we promote that, go, you know, back home, back to Godhead. But the real position is to be situated in your relationship with Krishna. And in that being situated in your relationship with Krishna consciousness, Krishna can do with me what he likes. That's being situated in one's relationship with Krishna. And, moreover, going back to Godhead isn't something that happens later. It's the consciousness, back to Godhead is consciousness. Now. You can be in back to Godhead consciousness now. You can be in the association with the personality of Godhead now. It is eternal service now. Not an event, like going to heaven, like you die and you go back to Godhead. It's now. She's going to come up with something else. You follow? So I'm modifying two things in your statement. One is bhakti plus knowledge. That's one of the things I'm modifying. It's not bhakti plus knowledge. It's that which is the fruit of bhakti, which is then I have an understanding of who I am, what the goal of life is, which is I wouldn't understand without bhakti. So it's a subset. It's not a standalone. Bhakti plus. It's a subset of. And the other modification is the goal is not specifically go back to Godhead. Although we can say that. The goal is reawakening our love for Krishna. In the condition of love for Krishna, he can do with us what he likes. That's what the condition of love is. In the beginning, Prabhupada expressed this in one lecture, it's good, it's recommended to wish to go back to Godhead. Let me leave behind this consciousness and this place and go to Krishna and be in Krishna consciousness with Krishna, to go back home, back to Godhead. That's good. In a more mature stage, it's simply love for Krishna. The first one helps in at least the beginning stages of detachment, making a distinction between one thing and another thing, between this and that. And I want that, I don't want this. I want to go back home to God, back to Godhead. I don't want this consciousness, this way of life, this place, fluid of activities, lust, anger, greed, etc. I don't want to play anymore. I want to go to Krishna. In the more mature, so that's the goal is not simply back to Godhead. It's love of Godhead. That's also back to that kind of back to Godhead is love of Krishna. Okay, something more.
It says under Parvash, this mantra is a Vishnu mantra, for by practicing the chanting of this mantra, one is elevated to Vishnu Loka. So I was trying to understand, like, when Guru Maharaj is chanting that Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya, so the mantra itself has a spiritual potential which helps him to identify and to cover or to eliminate his anattas, or because we chant Mahamantra and it helps us to, you know, to remove our coverings and help us to remove our anattas, and we can see little experience whatever we do when we do the chantings and everything. So it should
keep going. I'm going to edit what you just said. Keep
so
going.
It should also. Because he had only, it looked like he had only that material desire more strong. Other than that, it doesn't, I didn't see that in this purpose. So what has this Vishnu mantra did or help Guru Maharaj in this case? Just chanting for the whole 6 months, we asked to retreat, to bring, whether it helps him to bring spiritual potency or something in a spiritual platform. It looks like it doesn't help it like that.
Looks like double help? That's what you...
They did not help him?
Yeah, of course it helped him. Of course it helped him. Nija Sarva Shaktis. You know that phrase from Shikshastakam? You know what Shakti means? Potency. Sarva Shaktis. All potencies. Nija Sarva Shaktis. The holy name, each and every one of the holy names are invested with all of Krishna's potencies. Each one. So, Vasudeva is one of those names. In the beginning of the Bhagavatam, there's also Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So it's not by chanting Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya and the rest of Srimad Bhagavatam that we're going to Vishnu Loka. It's the consciousness of the person who's chanting. What they understand, the goal, the object, the ashraya, the place of shelter to be. So, what we're receiving in ISKCON or in the Gaudiya Vaishnava tradition, and from Srimad Bhagavatam, from Lord Chaitanya and Rupa Goswami's teachings on down, is Krishna's to Bhagavan Swayam. Krishna is the original personality, Godhead. When we chant Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya, our destination is not Vishnu Loka. Our destination is Krishna Loka. Because of the sambandha, that because of the corresponding mood. And with the mood, the teachings that support that mood are being presented. So what we're hearing along with the chanting of the mantra is very important. One can read different translations of the Srimad Bhagavatam and different commentaries in the Srimad Bhagavatam and end up in the ditch. End up an impersonalist. Well, you can end up in a different situation, depending upon the source that one is hearing from. Dhruva had a certain disposition. Narada nurtured that disposition. His chanting led him to that position. It was effective. It did lead him to Vaikuntha Loka. He became a resident of Swetha Dweep, where Shiradakshaya Vishnu resides. That's the place where he went after being king. But because he had this other desire, it's not your statement, or your, I guess, question statement was, it looked like it didn't benefit him. It certainly did benefit him. However, he wasn't, as we just said yesterday, he hadn't heard from Rupa Goswami. He didn't want to accept the previous instruction that Narada had given him. Give up this get back mentality. It's not becoming of one who wants to enter Vaikuntha. He didn't want to give it up. So that's the lamentable part. But did he benefit? He certainly benefited. A, he got the kingdom, and B, he went back to Godhead. It's sometimes a little difficult to understand what's exactly the question you're asking. I'm trying my best. It covers it?
Yes, it covers it, Maharaj. Okay. I was wondering on this material aspiration. So my one more little additional question with that is like, when he's been initiated or the mantra by a Vaishnava, like Narada Maharaj,
yes.
Which is a more strong
yes.
spiritual potency, so, and then he was also doing the severe austerity, like focusing and doing like all of this penance. Even with all that, he was carrying that
yes.
material desire is still there. So I was thinking that
well, it was he was released from that gradually, and when the Lord appeared, gone. Yeah. Yes, it's gradually, isn't it? That's our position too. Proportionate to one's becoming attached in devotion to the personality of God, if those material desires and fruitive intentions will be vanquished. Proportionate to. So on the one hand, we're cultivating the goal. On the other hand, we're letting go of the other shelters that are antavat. They'll be taken from us anyways because they're antavat. But we're attached to them because we're foolish. So gradually, we can let go of those foolish ones. The spiritual strength, the insight, the empowerment, the intelligence, and it's ultimately it's Bhava Chinta, it's the Supreme Lord who does the cutting. It's described in the first canto also. Chinanti Kovidas Tashyat Kuryat. Huh? Just hearing Srimad Bhagavatam properly will do the cutting. So we go on with the hearing, even though we've got and gradually.
So it goes only gradually.
That's because we're attached. If we weren't attached, it's gone. Yes.
All right. So I'm kind of understanding this. You know, before I got Krishna conscious, I was just doing prescribed duties. Now I understand this. Krishna, devote yourself to the Maha Mantra, and I can go back and dovetail all my prescribed duties.
Yes. And dovetail them means under the codes of theistic conduct, under the codes of what Scripture says, this is acceptable, that's not acceptable. Like, let's say, you know, prescribed duty. I provide sustenance for my family members, myself and my family members. I earn and I purchase. So, but that's a yeah, we discriminate. What are some of the things that will provide sustenance for our family members? We'll do that providing sustenance under the codes of Scripture. That's a further refinement of prescribed duty. So I'm just adding that. Dovetail prescribed duties for Krishna and chant Hare Krishna. Yes. I'm just adding the refinement. There are certain things as we go along in Krishna consciousness, under the heading of prescribed duties, there's some things that we're not going to do. We're not going to do it this way or that way. We'll only do it, you know, according to what's prescribed duties, like food and speech and, you know, social behavior. There's some things we're just not going to do because it's not theistic. It's not recommended in the Scripture. So we mold our lives that way in when we're doing our prescribed duties and dovetailing them according to the indications of Scripture. That's all. I'm just adding this little embellishment. Okay?
So
the answer to your question is yes, with an embellishment or some little modification.
That's why Vishnu Loka,
Mantra,
I don't know about Lukan. I'm saying it's good, but you don't
want to
eliminate. That's why
Lord Chaitanya
came here.
Yes. To take us to Krishna Loka. And one of the big distinctions between Vishnu Loka and Krishna Loka is the intimacy of love. There's intimacy in Krishna Loka that you are not going to find in Vaikuntha Loka. It's not to say the people in Vaikuntha Loka, we look down their nose at them. Oh, they're way down there. They're pure, but there's an intimacy of love that's very, very wonderful and very special. that Lord Chaitanya came to give. That kind of intimate love in Krishna Loka. Like, you know, Mother Jasoda chasing Krishna with a stick. You're not going to find that in Vaikuntha. For example. And then tying up Damodar with a rope. You're not going to find that in Vaikuntha. And Narayan crying, "Oh, he's tied me up." You're not going to find that in Vaikuntha. There's an intimate, but it's a loving exchange. It's very intimate. You know, etc. So intimate. It's not to say in Vaikuntha there isn't love. There's pure love. But it's a different flavor, a different kind. The Lord Chaitanya came to give that other. We're very fortunate.
Jai.
Yeah, Jai is right. Yes.
It's only once in the day of Brahma that children walk into our fields.
Well, the other 999 yuga cycles in the day of Brahma, there is a yuga avatar for Kali Yuga, but it's not Swayam Bhagavan Krishna. The chanting of the holy name is still the yuga dharma in Kali Yuga, but it's not the same as what Lord Chaitanya gives through the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra. That intimate love of the residents of Vrindavan. It's a feature of Vasudev. Whether it's four arms or two arms, it's the Vasudev Krishna or Vasudev Gora manifesting. So the a feature of opulence and awed reverence and the destination being Vaikuntha for those that chant the holy name. Like, it's very similar to here with Dhruva.
So love of Krishna is not given any other time except...
The love for Krishna in the mood of the residents of Vrindavan requires the association of a resident of Vrindavan. And otherwise it's not accessible. So whether there is access to love for Krishna in Vrindavan through residents of Vrindavan in other times during the day of Brahma, I don't know the answer to that. I don't know of any. But I do know that it requires the association of one who has such love in order to enter into that realm. Very special. Lord Chaitanya is very special, and we're very fortunate. Okay, thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada.